know you should, but last week was Easter, so this is not Easter, but yet he's still risen. So that's kind of cool, right? You know, we tend to just leave those things at Easter sometimes, the acknowledgement that, you know, Christ walked out of the grave, and it's still true today, not just last week. So, although we don't have as much of a fanfare, it's still a thing. But, yeah, so we've been able to have, like, a great 7 days, 8 days in our family. From time to time, I'm just going to share with you guys some random family stuff, because I have a microphone and some magic carpets, and I get to do what I want to do. So, for those that don't know, that's my family. That was last summer. That's our oldest, Abby. She made it to 20. I don't know where she is right now, but she's in the kids' room right now. Okay, so that's Abby. She turned 20 yesterday, so we got to spend some time with family and that. And then Ricky graduated last year, and he's back in Indiana for school, and Abby goes back to Ann Arbor today. So we have four kids. Grace is usually in the kids' room, and Joey's at a friend's house today. But we had a great time. And our family is very odd. Sometimes I worry about the things people hear me say to my family. You'll constantly hear me say things like, well, kids ruin everything. I would tell my kids, like, I would walk into a room and I would see all four of them sitting there, and I would look at them and say, I love three of you. And then I'd walk out of the room, and then they would fight over who the one that wasn't loved was. So we have a really unique love language and way of doing things, and it's interesting. But sometimes my kids take it really, really far, and I look at them, and I just have to ask them why. Like, why are you guys the way you are? And they usually say, because we're your kids. And I find that very offensive at times. But sometimes they do things, and especially the boys. The boys have those intrusive thoughts, you know, those things that, like, you go, oh, that would be funny, but I probably shouldn't do it. And they go, that would be funny, and then they do it. Especially Joey will not turn down a bet. That's not something for you guys to do, okay? But they get him to do all sorts of weird stuff. And so if you ever see us, like, out in public, just pretend like you don't know us. It's better for you. And just keep on moving and just be like, wow, that family is messed up. But, so this week we're kicking off our why question. And one of the fun things about starting a new church is we got to ask this question a lot. Our whole team had grown up in church, and we were used to the way churches run. They kind of all fit in this formula type thing. You know, a couple songs, a couple prayers, time of teaching, you know, kids things, like all that. And those things are all good. But we got to ask the question of why do we do this? Like, what's our reason for doing things? You know, we looked at that Simon Sinek stuff of understanding your why. And we got to ask a lot of questions, and it was always, why? What's the real reason we're doing this? And it can't be just because we've always done it. One of my favorite stories is of this guy that he was at his mother-in-law's for like a family dinner. And he was told to pick up a ham. And so he picked up a ham, and he dropped it off in the kitchen, and a few minutes later, his wife came to him and said, hey, when you went to the butcher and picked up this ham, you didn't have the butcher cut the end off the ham. And he's like, well, I just went and got a ham. Like, he said, go get the ham from the butcher. I did what I was told. Every guy understands that. I did exactly what I was told. I didn't know I had to have this crazy extra thing that you didn't tell me about. But he's like, I did what I told. He's like, but you didn't do it. He's like, well, it doesn't matter. He goes, well, because that's how my mom taught me, is you always have the butcher cut the end off the ham. He goes, well, your mom's in the kitchen. Let's go ask her why we cut the end off the ham. And she goes in and he goes, hey, why do we cut the end off the ham? And her response was, well, because my mom taught me you cut the end off the ham. He's like, well, grandma's on the couch sleeping. Let's go wake grandma up and let's ask her. Like, let's get down to this. If I got yelled at for not doing this, let's get down to the reason I'm getting yelled at. So they go wake up grandma and say, grandma, why do we cut the end off the ham? And she goes, oh, well, I had to because my pot was too short. And so, from time to time, we have to ask the question of why are we doing this? Because it might be something as dumb as our pot was too short generations ago. And so we're going to spend a lot of time asking questions. Why? Now, this is one of the things that were important to us and part of our why of being Redeemed Community is we want questions. Because we're putting a huge value on the teaching side of things. I'm not here to entertain you. If you want to be entertained, there's better places to be. I want you to learn. I want you to grow. I want you to test me. Like, you need to ask yourself often, why are we listening to this guy? Why are we trusting this guy? I want you to test it. I want you to come up and go, hey, you said this, and I don't know that I agree with you, and we're going to dig in to the scripture, and we're going to go, this is why I said it, and maybe we dig in, and there's a chance where I go, oh, you know what? I had that wrong. And I'll come back. It took us like 6 weeks before I had to come and do my first retraction. It was the week before Easter where I had to come and say, hey, I made this statement about the word Lord in Scripture, and I, just because my Bible doesn't mean all Bibles do that. I am more than happy to come up and explain what I did and get us all back on the right track. Okay? So part of our why is we want to be a teaching place, which means we have to get questions, and it has to be a back and forth, because here's the reality is the odds of all of you guys staying a part of this group of believers in this particular cafeteria or wherever we may end up at some point in time is slim, and so I want to make sure you have the tools to be able to dig into Scripture on your own and understand what you're reading and what you're doing, and the best way to do that is ask questions. As we go through the series, text me, email me, ask me directly, put it on the card that you received when you came in the door, drop it in the offering boxes or in the black box in the back, ask questions. If it's something big, let's dig in together. One of the people on our teaching team that we get together every week and we work through the sermons and stuff constantly says, yeah, but does it say that? Because I bring in some context and I'll say, okay, in this time and space, in there, this was a culturally thing, and we apply that into Scripture, which is a good thing to do, but there's this constant test of, yeah, but does Scripture say that? It's not saying I'm wrong, but it's a test. Testing things is good. So, my job is to teach, your job is to test. Together we all learn, and we get it right. Okay? So, that's part of it, but we're going to jump right in to Matthew 9:18-26 is going to be the main part of our scripture for today. And it's a couple different events that happened during Jesus' ministry as he's going around and he's doing things. And they're probably ones you've heard before, and there's very similar things to this. You're finding it in a handful of the Gospels, the same stories and events like this. But it says, as he was telling them these things, suddenly one of the leaders came, knelt down before him, saying, my daughter just died. But come, lay your hand on her, and she will live. So Jesus and his disciples got up and followed him. Just then, a woman who had suffered from bleeding for 12 years approached from behind and touched the end of his robe. For she said to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be made well. Jesus turned and saw her. Have courage, daughter, he said. Your faith has saved you. And the woman was made well from that moment. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowds lamenting, which I never thought of a flute as a lamenting instrument. Like, my daughters have played it, it's an annoying instrument, but I don't know about lamenting. Anyway, side question. All right. Lamenting loudly, leave, he said, because the girl is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, interesting response, but after the crowd had been put aside, he went in, took her by the hand, the girl got up, and the news of this spread throughout that whole area. The spread. Loving Father, we do praise you for this day. We praise you for the fact that even today we celebrate the fact that you are risen. We celebrate the fact that you love us. And God, in this moment, we ask that you clear our heads, calm our hearts, open our ears so that we hear from you and your love. Lord, if there's anything I've prepared to say, it isn't what you want said.
doesn't align with who you are in your church. That is just you remove it from my mind. Don't let it impact us. And if it does, let it fall on deaf ears. So that only your word stands. We offer this time to you as an offer, an act of worship, acknowledging you as our Maker, our Creator, our Savior.
So why is an interesting question? You have a toddler? It's an annoying question. But it's an interesting question because it's got so many layers to it, but ultimately why equals motivation. Why is a short form of asking, what are you doing? Explain to me the motivation behind what you're doing. Teach me what you think you understand so that I can understand it and put into context the actions that you're living out. Why is a loaded three-word or three-letter word? It's asking a whole lot of things, and it's extremely important. But isn't that why toddlers ask why a million times? Because they're learning. They're just trying to figure out their world. Everything is new, and exciting. They have no context to anything, and they just keep going, why? And you just gotta keep answering and answering, but it's because they wanna know. They wanna get what's going on. Why is extremely important. And we thought we're gonna spend some time asking why. We're gonna ask, why do we read Scripture? We're going to ask, why can we trust Scripture? We have a friend coming in named Tim McGrew, who's ridiculously smart, and he's going to talk us through some of the things of why we can trust what we read. Because we see the Bible, and we read it in English, but English wasn't its original way, and we see things, and why is an important question right now, especially because the world is asking why, and the answers are getting very different, and why we can trust Scripture is really important. Because from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelations, it's important to understand why you can trust all of this. And there's things outside of Scripture that back up that the Bible and the stories in it aren't stories that are just made up, but they're historical accounts of things that have happened. And we're going to show you some of that. Because understanding why you can trust Scripture is important. And we got to bring in someone a lot smarter than me. And it's going to be a great time. And I love it when Tim is here and teaches us. We're going to ask, why do we baptize? Why do we tithe? Why do we do communion? Why do we do the things we do as a church? And then hopefully we'll also get some extra questions of going, I've always wondered why we do this. And you can answer those questions. You can ask anonymously. You can ask online, whatever that is. I'm not a smart guy. I just say things. Anyway. But we want to know. And we're going to cover those because it's important. So, I have a question for you to start with. When was the last time you asked yourself why? Have you ever looked at yourself? Now, I do this occasionally in my life when I do something stupid. You usually go, I'll make some mistake, I'll make a wrong turn, I'll just be in a daze and drive to like my old house that I haven't lived in like 8 years or whatever. Like, you just do things and sometimes you stop and go, why? When was the last time you asked yourself why? When was the last time you asked yourself why you're going to church? This morning. When was the last time you asked yourself why you have a job? When was the last time you asked yourself why you do anything you do? When was the last time you asked yourself, okay, well, I do this thing that I don't want to do. Why do I do it? Why am I in the relationship that I'm in? Why are my kids the way they are? Why do I keep catching myself in these traps that I've been in before? Why do I give 20 bucks to the homeless guy at the corner? Why do I not give 20 bucks to the homeless guy at the corner? Everything we do, there's a why to it, and it's really, really healthy that we ask ourselves these questions because they matter. Why do you stand and sing when Joel tells us to stand and sing? Why do you stand and not sing when Joel tells you to stand and sing? All of this matters, and it's really important. And unfortunately, sometimes our why is because people see us. Because if pleasing man is in humans, is your goal, which includes yourself, then you'll always compromise your why. And sometimes we do things and we don't ask why. Sometimes we do things, if we just ask ourselves why, we'd say we're chasing something. You sit there and go, why do I jump from relationship to relationship? Because I just want to feel loved. I just want companionship. I just need comfort. And you chase after that. You go, okay, well, why is it that I drink so much? Why is it that I eat so much? Why is it that I never stop and rest? I have to continually be busy. Is it because I want people to see me working so hard and I'm constantly busy? I want people to think that I'm a hard worker and I'm going to accomplish something and I want to be valued based on the things I do and the world is watching and I am watching. Why is it that I don't work that hard? Why do I rest? Why do I run so hard that I crash so hard? And we don't stop enough to look at these reasons, and so often it's because we're focused on pleasing ourselves or those that are watching because we care what others think about us. And that's not bad. Because people are thinking about you. When I'm in the store and my kids are doing weird things, people are watching. When I'm in the store and I'm doing weird things, people are watching. People are constantly asking. People are asking why you do what you do. People see you. In fact, we see it in Scripture, and it's my very favorite Scripture. And there's this thing about me. I kind of go in some loops. I get fixated on some things. And you're going to hear the same things over and over and over again. And a lot of them are because I'm still teaching myself. When I use the phrase of A.W. Tozer and his quote of what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you, it's because I constantly have to tell myself that that is the most important thing about me. People are asking that too. In the Scripture, we see 1 Peter 3:15. It says, but in your hearts, regard Christ as Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Always be prepared to answer the reason why. Have you ever had someone ask you to do something on a Sunday? And you're like, I can, but it has to be later because I go to church. Whether they say it to you or not, they're going, why? Do you have any? Is it because I've always done church? My parents have always done church. This is just what we do on Sundays. We go to church. We get up. We fight with all the kids. We get everyone in the car. We drive really fast because we're running late and we don't want to come in late. We pull in the parking lot and we wonder if we're too late. We wonder if they're done singing because maybe I don't like that singing part. And then we get in and then we get home and we're mad because everything went bad. And we never stop to go, why do we do this? And the answer is because we've always done it. But that's not why.
better things to do with your time than come hang out here if that's your life. But the world is watching. And the world's watching you because if you know your hope, if you know your reason, they're watching because they're wondering why it is you have hope, because they're looking for it. People are chasing hope. People are constantly wondering why it is the way you are. When they see you handle the difficult things in a way that they don't, they're going, how come that guy did that? When they see you interact with people, like, are you the person who, when things are difficult at work, they make you go deal with a difficult person? Because they're like, oh, you just have a knack for dealing with difficult people. They're like, I don't have hope, and I can't handle it. And they're wondering, why is it the way you are? People are constantly asking, why? Are you? Are you asking yourself why? Because they're chasing hope. They're trying to fill that void in their life with everything. Because they're looking for peace in their life. They're looking for comfort. They're looking for patience. They're looking for self-control. They're looking for this whole list of things in their life. And when they see people that have it, they're going, why? Why are you the way you are? Now, I've learned when my kids were toddlers, and even now, as they ask bigger questions, they don't quit asking questions, they just ask different ones. But they're always why. The answer can never be because. You don't learn anything from because. Because when the answer is asked, and they go, okay, why do you do this? And you go, because it has no background. Your kids will listen to because, and they'll follow it to an extent, and it's because I'm your parent, and I said so, and that will only last until you're out of their house, and then whatever foundation that because was built on doesn't last. And they do their own thing. We have this word in the church where people are deconstructing their faith. And they're going, well, I don't know. And they're asking the question of why they believe what they believe. And the problem is, it was all based on because. And it doesn't hold. Because can't be the answer. Because can't be the answer why you're here or in any other church at any other time. It has to have meaning. It has to have significance. And when people ask you why you have the hope you have, it can't be because. And so we see that in Scripture too. We see this guy that was out there and he heard about Jesus. And he was a guy that did everything right. In fact, it even says that. But he followed everything. He went up to Jesus and he asked this really, really simple question, right? And it's a question we're probably all curious with. It's found in Matthew 19. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And that seems to be a really good question to ask God. So he asked Jesus, and Jesus said, well, you know, obey your parents, give to the poor. He kind of started listing some of the Ten Commandments. And this dude was like, yes, I'm all in. I've done it. And if you're like, man, Rick, you've preached this one a lot, it's because it's important. And so he goes, yeah, I've done all of these things. I've kept all of these commandments as a boy. And Jesus says, fine. Do this. Tell everything you have. Give it to the poor. And follow me. And the guy left. Here's a guy that followed all the rules. Here's a guy that showed up every Sunday. He did his thing. He gave to the poor.
He obeyed his parents. He read scriptures. He did all this. He was doing what he thought he was doing to inherit eternal life.
But it was because his goal was eternal life. And this is a tough one for Christians, for those who believe, for those who mark and believe, for those who want to be good people. If you keep wanting eternal life, and that can't be the goal.
Because when we want eternal life, we go, okay, that's something obtainable on our end, on the things we do. If I go to church enough, if I give $20 to the guy in the corner enough, if I volunteer at the soup kitchen enough, if I read the Bible enough, if I pray enough, if I, you know, nice enough to my kids and my family and my in-laws, if I do all of these things enough, can I get eternal life? And I see this horrible trend rolling through right now as people are asking this question of why and where does hope come from. And I see these videos where people are going, no, we just only have to look at just doing these things. If I just love my neighbor well, everything is I'm loving my neighbor well. And it kind of is, but it depends on the why you're doing it. Because we discount huge portions of Scripture. We discount huge portions of things because we're just trying to obtain this eternal life. And that can't be the goal. You see completely opposite interaction with the dude named Zacchaeus. According to the signs of Scripture, he's a leader. You see in Luke 19, it says, but Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor. Lord, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. And so what this is Zacchaeus saw Jesus and he climbed up this tree because he was too small to see and he was up there. He was a tax collector. So he had the rich young ruler that did all of these things right and was seeking how to inherit eternal life. And we have Zacchaeus who almost did every single thing wrong and he took and he stole and he did everything. And one guy said, how do I live forever? And the other guy realized what he had done and realized who Jesus was and says, what do I do to follow you? And I'm going to follow all of these rules so I get this reward. And one guy said, I see who God is. And I'm in awe of how much God loves me. And I'm going to follow him. But why is it this way? One guy is trying to accomplish something. The other guy understands to accomplish something. See that in the scripture we read at the start. This leader comes up, says, my daughter is dead. I know who you are. I can't be anything but you. Jesus, I know who you are. You can do it. My faith is in you. You can do amazing things. That person is dead. You are dead. And as Jesus is walking, this lady reaches out to head. This thing that says that she'd gone to the doctors before 12 years. And she reached out and says it touched the end of her garment. Okay? There was a little contextual piece. There was the outer cloak that in the very end, in the corner, would have been an insignia. Would have been his signature. People put their signatures there and they would press them into the seal to sign their name into the wax. And she said, if I can just touch the name of Jesus, I can be sealed. But why was he known for Jesus? And in awe of who he is, I'm going to do everything I can because of who he is. We see stories of blind men. four friends carrying their friend who was paralyzed, cutting a hole in a roof to lower him down because they knew why they were doing what they were doing. This guy that was by the pool that knew, if I can just get to the pool, if I can just get to God. These people, their why was completely different. They weren't looking, going, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? They were going, who is this God? And I need everything about him. Why are you here today? If you were on one of our service teams, why? Why get here early for that? It's just because I want people to look at me like I'm a good person. Because this is what I do and what I've always done. Because of any reason other than I'm overwhelmed by who God is. Because he came, he lived a life on this earth. He was tortured and put on a cross, put in a grave. 3 days later, walked out solely because he loved me. Then why is it good enough? Why is that? People stand and they wonder. And they ask, why do you do the things you do? You get to look at yourself. Let me tell you about that. Let me tell you about the God that turned my whole world upside down. Let me tell you about the God that took me striving and chasing after, you know, position or power or money or possessions or peace and filling all of this hole with all of these things that left me empty and didn't give me the hope that I needed. But when I surrendered everything to God, didn't mean it's all easy. Knew. The leader that came up and said, Jesus, my daughter is dead, only you can save him. His daughter still died. He was still a broken man, going through his Savior. But he still felt pain. But your life isn't going to be like just all peachy, but there's a hope to it. Because you're going, I know a God. To continue to fall into the checklist of things we do because we're Christians and we follow these and we're building a really weak foundation. In fact, even as Christians, and I've done this, even as a pastor, I've done this and I've asked these questions and you just look and you go, man, why does God use some people in these ways and not me? You sit there and you talk with friends and they tell stories and you know, you talk with friends that plant churches and theirs have taken off and they're big, like first day, 200 people or they get a job in a church or people start flooding in or whatever it is. There's so many measures we put at things and sometimes we see other people and we get jealous of these things. Even Christians, we go, why isn't God using me in that way? I remember it with church I worked at previously, we had this couple that a great couple. Good family. Like, we're gonna be really, really good at helping the church and good leaders and everything. And ended up going to another church. And like, I'm a competitive person. And sometimes I get competitive as a pastor. And I look and I'm like, what are they doing over there? What does that church have that we don't have? Like, we could do this. And then you start seeing this family, and you see them get their why right. And you see them completely surrender their lives to Christ. And you go, man, I think they could have done that here, but I know what God did for them there. And their family is so much better off for them, because my why was off. I was looking at trying to build what Rick was building. And being a part of this. And I got to keep checking myself because if I'm ever wondering why God isn't doing the things that I think, it's because my why is off. Am I building my kingdom or am I serving God's kingdom? Am I doing things so we have to stack up more chairs here? Am I going, God, if I'm just faithful and focused on what you're doing, if I'm just teaching and doing the things you tell me to do, if I'm just loving you with everything that I am, it does not matter. There's a lie, there's a will. And we even see this in Jesus' last times on earth. We talked about this last week as he's praying. He came back to his own way, his cup came to him. When Jesus teaches us to pray, he says, when you pray, pray like this. He says, your will be done. Amen. You have a why for everything you do. You have a why for why you're here. You have a why for why you're going to a restaurant and you're going to a church. You have a why for everything you do. And your why has a will behind it. Is your will God's will? And like, I just want to follow my Savior because I know who he is. Because I know that's where peace is. I just want to surrender myself to God and his will because I'm in awe of the God that created me and loves me and guides me. Was it my will that I'm trying to manufacture hope? I'm trying to manufacture peace. That I'm trying to find the praise of man and to accomplish things and to build my kingdom. So as we keep going through with this series, we're going to be asking that question, why? And the big thing is going to be, what are we doing with it? We know we go to churches and they do communion some every week, some once a quarter, some sporadically, every once in a while. It doesn't matter, but why are you doing it? When you give your offering to God, whether it's your money, your time, or your heart, why? Because if you're just writing a check so that you can inherit eternal life, God won't need your money. If you're writing a check because you're like, God has just been so gracious to me and I want to be a part of what he's doing, and by giving, I'm showing that I'm surrendering things to God, and it's a very difficult thing to surrender. I'm just going to write a check because I don't really want to have the time to give, to serve. God, they're not your money. They need your money. You're just fine without it. But if your heart is going, you know what? I think time is my most, my best possession. To work Saturday night to make sure that we have a peaceful morning so that I walk into the building and my heart is prepared to worship and prepared to learn because I'm in awe of who God is. And that's why I'm going to be here, is because I want to grow closer to God so I can take that and I can go. And God, I'm going to give you time and I'm going to be in a relationship with you and I'm going to spend time in prayer with you and I'm going to give you time each and every day, not just to tell you what I want, but to just listen. And I want you guys to spend a few moments on reflection. And this is one of the things we do, and we do offering And I'm serious, if your heart's not behind why you give money, don't give it. That's not the thing. But I want you to spend time thinking of your offering to God and why you give it, whether it's your time, whether it's your money, whether you're holding on to something and going, I don't know why I'm holding on to this. God, I want to follow you, but I'm holding on to this drug, this thing, this temptation, this hurt, this crutch, this whatever it is in my life, I'm holding on to it, and you need to give that as an offering. In the same way, a broken man went up to God and said, my daughter is dead, and I'm giving to her, to you, as an offering, because they're the only one who can do something about it. If there's something broken inside of you, give that to God. Jesus just walked up among these flute players and people lamenting. When you lamented in that culture, there was a lot of loudness. It was a very public lamenting. Like everyone knew what was going on. Here's this guy, Jesus, just walking up with his buddies with him. He's like, what are you guys doing? This is a lie. And they're like, yeah. But they lamented so hard, you paid people to come and lament with you. This was a big deal, and Jesus shows up and goes, yeah, your services are no longer needed here. That little girl's got up. Because her dad understood the why of who Jesus is, and said, I'm giving you my most broken thing. Do something. Why are you holding on to what you're holding on to? Why are you grabbing on to a sin that you know isn't good for you? That isn't healthy for you, and you're holding on to it and going, yeah, but if I give this up, I'm exposed and I'm wrong. And God's going, I know, but look what I can do. Those are offerings. Your question of why to God is an offering. To God, I'm going to hand over my doubt. Why you love me the way you do, because I've done all of these things. I'm so broken, and I'm so distant, and I'm so worn down, and I'm going to hand this to you, and I don't know why you bought them. That's an offering. Sometimes you help break things down. That's why we do our offering this way. We have this card here, and we reflect your life. Feel free to write down that thing and put it in the box of that thing. It's yours now. I don't even hold on to it anymore. If you want one of us to walk this path with you, Ashley, Nicole, Joel, myself, if we're willing to walk alongside you, just put the note on the card and say, just reach out to me. I'm going to need help letting this go. We're not there to journey alone. That's the community part, where we do community, where a group of believers that are gathering together going, you know what? Sometimes life is hard, but God designed us as community creatures to walk alongside and share each other's burdens and to lift each other up and ask each other that question of why, and to be able to share the hope that we have, because we may have walked that path before. We've seen what God has done on our side. Sounds a really good one. Hey, that's everything right there. He's the only one worthy. Like, if you expect me to carry your faith, that's a really, really lousy foundation. If you put your faith in the only one worthy, that's an amazing foundation. The best I can do is walk a path with you and go, man, I'm just as messed up and I'm just trying to figure out how to love God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my might. We can journey this together. And for some reason, God told me to stand up here and say, this community with everything we have so that they get to go, why are you the way you are? And so, man, let me tell you about God and what he's done in my life, because I demolished it, I destroyed it, because I was building this whole why of either on because or because I was chasing after something and God was the only thing of value, and it just completely changed everything about me. Well, life is so hard, it's not hopeless. And I love people to continue this way because I'm in awe of who God is and how much love me. Change their world. And they need to change someone else's world. And the world is completely changed by the love of Jesus Christ, and they're loving their neighbors completely differently. It's not putting their children in the room, God's people, and their minds are different. It's your heart. So next week we're going to look at why it's important to read Scripture. Spend some time this week. Ask why on the top of it. Get up in the morning. Why do I get up now? Is there a reason I should be getting up later? Is there a reason I should be getting up earlier? Whatever it is you're doing, just ask why and go, okay, God, is this something you have for me? And sometimes why is God is going, hey, I need you to rest. You say, yeah, go ahead and watch the show because you're inviting me to rest. God can say, hey, I need you to get up off the couch, I need you to run. I need you to work hard. I need you to be God. I need you to ask why this is wrong. Loving Father, we praise you for this day. God, speak to us this week. Remind us continually who you are and why you're the only one worthy. Let you be our reason why for everything. Lord, show us more how to submit to your will and not our own. Show us more how to love our neighbor and to lead them to find a place of peace. Transform us, God. Speak to us this week. Next Sunday.